You have your Bible with you this morning. We're turning to Ruth and the third chapter, Ruth chapter 3. And we're going to read together from the opening verse of this chapter. Ruth chapter 3, commencing to read at verse 1. We're going to continue with our study in the book of Ruth this morning. We'll break from it next Lord's Day. Some have been asking, do I think I'll have this book finished before we relocate to Northern Ireland? We have about five Sundays left. Five Sundays while I'm in the pulpit. We're away next Lord's Day. We're here for two Lord's Days after that, and then we have two Lord's Days in Northern Ireland. And then back for one, and away to camp for one, and then back for two. So we have five Sunday mornings, I think, after today. And we have two chapters still to do. I think we'll make a lot of progress in chapter 3. We'll cover most of that this morning. And if we find that we're going to run out of time in the morning time, then I'll double up and I'll do Ruth in the morning and the evening time. I would hate to finish halfway through chapter 4 and then leave and not come back and finish that. So we'll try and finish the book of Ruth before we relocate to Northern Ireland at the end of July in the Lord's will. But Ruth chapter 3, and let's read together from the opening verse of the chapter. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Amen. We'll finish there at verse 11. We pray the Lord will bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word at this time. We're taking verse 1 as our text. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" And then following these verses, or that text of Scripture, you find that Ruth goes to Boaz, the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer. And I want to link that thought of rest and the Redeemer. And the theme I want to look at this morning is very simply, resting with our great Redeemer. Taking these words as our text this morning. With our Bibles open there, Ruth chapter 3, and let me encourage you to keep your Bible open. We're going to be covering a number of verses here this morning, really the whole portion we've read together. So let me encourage you to keep your Bible open there, follow along, and if you mark your Bible, then mark the various texts and references as well as we go through the Lord's Word this morning. So let's pray together. Father, we thank thee for this privilege of gathering together in thy house today. We bless thee for thy good hand upon us that finds us here. We thank thee for the liberties we enjoy, the safety in this nation, the freedoms that we experience week by week. Lord, we think of other believers and other nations that dare not meet as we are meeting just now. Bless them and strengthen them. Stay the hands of wicked men who would persecute them and in many cases slaughter them. Lord, we pray that thou would remember thy people in those dangerous places across the world. But Lord, thou hast brought us to this hour and to this point in the message. And we pray, Lord, today that thou wilt help us now as we turn to thy word, that thou wilt fill me with thy spirit and bless all those who hear. Let thy word be profitable to us today. May it be mingled with faith the hearing of it, that it might be of profit to our souls. So speak to our hearts, show us more of Christ, draw us nearer to him as we have been singing. And Lord, we need thee. We are conscious of that. We need thee. And we pray that as Ruth went to Boaz, that we might draw near to thee today and enjoy fellowship with thee. So abide with us, fill me with thy spirit. We pray these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. The closing part of Ruth chapter 2 outlines in some considerable detail the tremendous change that was taking place in Naomi's heart. Ever since she had returned from Moab, she had been overcome with a spirit of sorrow and a spirit of bitterness. Naomi felt that her life had fallen apart. Her husband had died, her two sons were dead also, and as far as she was concerned at that time, at the end of Ruth chapter 1, the Lord had brought her very low. In fact, in verse 21 of that first chapter, Naomi goes as far as to say, I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She recognized the Lord's hand had been upon her, but she felt that he had dealt with her in a way that she had never, ever expected. And as a result of all her trials and all her troubles, Naomi was overwhelmed with a sense of bitterness and grief. But that began to change. And it began to change especially when Ruth came back from the fields of Bethlehem and told Naomi that she had gleaned in a field belonging to Boaz and that Boaz had shown great kindness to her. Although Ruth chapter 2 doesn't give us all the details, it's clear from how Naomi reacted to Ruth's words that she viewed this as tremendous news. For the first time in a long time, Naomi was beginning to think now that things would work together for good. The mention of Boaz's name. And remember, Boaz was a relative of the family who had the right to redeem them from all of their troubles. And the mention of his name filled Naomi with fresh confidence. Her language changed. Her outlook changed. Her perception of things changed. Her thoughts about the future changed. Her consideration of Ruth changed as well. The fact that they were in touch with a kinsman redeemer, they knew he was there, they knew he was a kind man, meant a huge burden had been lifted from Naomi's heart. It seems from the close of chapter 2 that there are no further developments in this situation for the next 2 months or so. Life went on, the barley harvest finished, the wheat harvest 50 days later was ready to be gathered in as well. And all that time, Ruth continued to glean in the fields belonging to Boaz. As far as Ruth is concerned, during that 50-day, 60-day period, things are moving very slowly. And that then brings me into Ruth chapter 3. For in the opening verses of this chapter, Naomi suggests to Ruth that she should go to the place where Boaz threshed the wheat and there wait on him to tell her what he was going to do. It's the passage we have read together in the opening verses of this third chapter. It has to be said that this chapter, this passage, has caused some controversy. There are some commentators who think Naomi was unwise in what she was telling Ruth to do here in this third chapter, that she should never have suggested that this young woman should go and meet a man by herself at night. That this was improper, it was immodest, potentially immoral. And they argue that Naomi was proposing something that was highly dangerous. I understand some of those concerns, but we must remember that the Book of Ruth is an Eastern book with Eastern customs that were normal centuries ago. When Ruth chapter 3 verse 2 speaks of Boaz winnowing barley at night, we must understand here that the threshing floor was most likely on the side of a hill where the wind would come and blow away the chaff. Others would have used the same place to winnow their crop. The men would work until the evening time and then they would lie down there and get some rest. In many ways, it was a public kind of place, the threshing floor, where many others came to do the very same work that Boaz had come to do. Also, it was the manner of those times that some servants would lie at the feet of their masters and they would take their rest alongside them. There was nothing really untoward about that kind of situation. Then note also that in the Eastern way, the spreading of the skirt or the spreading of the cloak over someone was the sign of acceptance. In some cases, it was viewed to be a proposal to marriage. It's important for us to keep those factors in mind as you read through this chapter. I'm not suggesting for one moment that young ladies should act this way. Today in our culture, it would be highly inappropriate. But this was Eastern culture many years ago, and therefore not inappropriate in Ruth's time. And I say that to stress something very important. There's nothing particularly unseemly or untoward about Naomi's suggestion. And Boaz is very clear to describe Ruth at this time. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says at the very end of that verse, "For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." There's no question in Boaz's mind about the virtue of Ruth. There's no hint here that Ruth has done something improper, and therefore, by extension, there's no hint of Naomi suggesting anything improper either. What Naomi is trying to do here is to ensure that Ruth would experience and enjoy a very special blessing. Look at verse 1. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now those are tremendous words, words that are full of meaning and full of depth. The word rest there, "my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee," is a word that means a state of rest or a condition of rest, the sense of a state of quietness. Sometimes the word means a place where we rest, as in a home. But in this case, it means much more than that. It means a sense of peace, a sense of security, a sense of rest, a sense of being taken care of in every aspect of that word. The term, "be well with thee," at the end of verse 1, "shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee," carries that thought even further. It's a word that means to be accepted, or to be joyful, or to be pleased. The same word is used in verse 7, but there it's translated by our English word, merry, where it speaks of Boaz having eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry. It was well with his heart. That's what it means. And in the context of Ruth 3, both these terms, this thought of rest and this thought of being well with thee, simply mean that Naomi was seeking for Ruth to be comforted and cared for and thought of and brought into a position of marriage. She wanted to know the greatest possible blessings for her daughter-in-law. I think that's important we understand that. Naomi is seeking this for Ruth. In the earlier chapters of this book, Naomi is taken up with her own suffering and her own sorrow. She's harboring some sense of bitterness. She's thinking about herself. But in chapter 3, she's taken up with Ruth's future. She wants the very best for her daughter-in-law. She longs that it will be well with Ruth, not just in the immediate present, but in the days to come. She's not thinking selfishly anymore. Rather, Naomi is thinking graciously and yearning that this young woman, her daughter-in-law, who came from Moab with her, would have a very blessed and peaceful life ahead of her. That's what she desires for Ruth. And I think there's a lesson there for all of us. Should we not seek the well-being of others, and especially in the spiritual realm? Should we not seek the very best for the Lord's people? Our hearts should go out to others. Christian parents should desire the very best spiritual blessings for their children. Older believers should desire the very best for younger Christians. Pastors should desire the very best for their congregations. Members should desire the very best for each other. Oftentimes, it's not that way. Oftentimes, we are consumed with self. We can become so self-centered that we fail to care for one another. But it ought not to be so. Naomi might have had her faults, but this was not one of them. She's seeking the very best for Ruth. She wants her to rest in a happy marriage and to enjoy the rich blessings of the Lord. And all of that is going to depend upon Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. She wants her to find rest. And her thoughts go to the redeemer. And that's why I've entitled the message very simply this morning, Finding Rest with Our Great Redeemer. There are four thoughts in this passage that I want to draw your attention to as we come through chapter 3 this morning. First of all, notice the acknowledgement of the Redeemer. The acknowledgement of the Redeemer. As soon as Naomi spoke to Ruth about seeking rest for her, as soon as she mentions that, she references Boaz by name. Look at verses 1 and 2 together. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred? Now see what she's doing there. She's linking the idea of rest with the kinsman redeemer. There is no other person in focus here. Naomi does not think that Ruth could find rest with one of the servants or one of the other gleaners or some other man in Bethlehem. When she talks about her finding rest, she acknowledges that Ruth's only hope of rest and marriage and happiness and safety and quietness for the future, her only hope of that lay with this mighty man of wealth, this man Boaz. I suggest that's quite a change for Naomi. Because back in Ruth 1, verse 9, remember when Naomi is going back to Bethlehem and Ruth is coming with her and Orpah there is there also. And Ruth listens to Naomi and Naomi says to her, The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kisses them and they lift up their voice and wept. Notice what Naomi said then. She's talking to Ruth and she's talking to Orpah and she says, The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband. In other words, go back to Moab, remarry there, find a husband there, and you'll find rest there. It was very bad advice from Naomi at that time, but now she has changed. And she said to Ruth, You will find true rest with Boaz. You'll find rest with the Redeemer. She's thinking straight again, and she's pointing Ruth in the right direction. Essentially, what she is saying to her daughter-in-law is that you'll find rest nowhere else. You'll not find rest from anyone else either. The kind of rest that you need, the love, the care, the comfort, is only going to be found by being in union with Boaz himself. No one else could meet that great need. And so she acknowledges the Redeemer. Believer, is there not a spiritual parallel here? We need rest. For if truth be told, we are poor and needy and weak souls. We have nothing of ourselves. We live in a very hostile world that shows little or no interest in our spiritual well-being. In fact, it shows quite the exact opposite. We are surrounded by enemies of the gospel. We are strangers in a sinful world. We have trials and troubles and struggles to contend with. And we cannot survive on our own. We cannot manage by ourselves. We need to be taken care of. We need one to keep us under the shadow of his wing. And the only one who is able to do that is Christ. The only place we can find true rest, the care, the comfort, the consolation, the help, the strength, the grace, the mercy that we need as we live here as believers in this world, the only person who can meet all of those needs is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must acknowledge that fact. We must acknowledge it for ourselves, and we must acknowledge it for others, that we need Christ. There is no rest for the Christian in this world and from the world. There is no rest for us in the passing pleasures of sin. There is no rest in living for self. There is no rest in following the ways of the ungodly. The only place, the only person who can guarantee us rest in this turbulent world is Jesus Christ. Naomi is right here. She is right to link rest and Boaz together. It was a very wise acknowledgement on her part. And if we are wise, spiritually wise, we'll acknowledge the same thing concerning Christ. It begs the question, why did Naomi think this way? Why does she link rest with Boaz? Well, there are a number of reasons she acknowledged this, because Boaz was their kinsman. See the language of verse 2, now is not Boaz off our kindred. Off our kindred, that's become dominant language in this book. In Ruth chapter 2 verse 1, Boaz is described as a kinsman of her husband's. In Ruth chapter 2 verse 20, he is described as near of kin, one of our next kinsmen. And there's a progression of thought here. Boaz is not just a friend. He's not just an acquaintance, a relative. He's more than that. He is the one who has the right to redeem. He's of their kindred. He is one of them. There is a relationship there that meant this man could help them in their time of need. And Naomi understands that. He's not just Boaz, the Lord of the harvest. He's not just Boaz, the landowner who owns the fields. He's Boaz and he's of our kindred. He's our redeemer. He's our kinsman. She acknowledges this too because Boaz had already been gracious to Ruth. Look at verse 2 again. Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? It's an interesting phrase, with whose maidens thou wast, or to put that in our kind of language, this man Boaz, didn't you work beside his maidens? Weren't you with those girls? Takes you back to Ruth 2 and verse 8. Where Boaz said to Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And the reason why Ruth was able to work alongside the maidens of Boaz in the fields was because Boaz had ordered that. In other words, what this little phrase is stressing is that Boaz had already shown an interest in Ruth's well-being. He had already taken notice of her. He had proved himself to be a good relative. He had watched out for Ruth. He had protected her. He had provided for her. He had made sure, by the word of his own mouth, he had made sure that she was taken care of. He had left nothing out. He took a personal interest in her, and therefore Naomi knew he would do so again. She also acknowledges Boaz in this matter of rest because Boaz was at hand. In other words, she knew where to find him. Look at verse 2. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. How did she know that? How did Naomi know that's where Boaz was? Because that was very often the work of the landowner. He would come to the end of the harvest process and he would be the one who would oversee the threshing of the crop at the threshing floor. He would be there at that stage of things. He was a mighty man of wealth. A very powerful figure in Bethlehem, a renowned man in the community, a unique person in many ways in that area. But he was accessible. Naomi knew where he was. She knew where he could be found. She knew that if you went to him at that place, he would be there for you. This was the place where the work was finished. Here's the man, therefore, who's associated with the finished work. And he's accessible. This was the last thing to be done in the whole harvesting process. And Boaz would be there. And therefore, Ruth could find him. And he was their redeemer. And he had shown himself to be kind to her in the past. And all of that makes Naomi link this desire for rest to Boaz. And she wants Ruth to go to him. What she's doing here is she is realizing that Ruth could only find the rest she needed by being with this man. Remember what Christ said in Matthew 11? Verse 28 to verse 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He's speaking there as the Redeemer. He's able to carry our burdens. He has carried the burden of our sin in his own body to the cross, and as our Redeemer, he is able to give us rest. The word rest here first appears in Genesis chapter 8. It's the story of Noah and the ark. And remember, when the rains cease and the flood begins to decrease, that Noah sends the dove out of the ark. We're told in verse 9 of Genesis 8 that the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. I want you to think of that. The dove could find no rest outside the ark. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Can you find rest apart from the ark? Christ Jesus? The believer cannot do without his Lord." The dove could find no rest outside the ark. And we can find no true rest apart from Christ. We can't. You can search the world. You can search the pleasures of the world. You can search after the prosperity of the world. You can delve into the philosophies of the world. You can become popular in this world. You can have everything this world can offer, and you'll still not find rest. But give me Christ. Let me know him. Let me be in union with Christ. Let me fellowship with Christ. Let me have Christ as my Savior, Christ as my Redeemer, Christ as my friend, Christ as my Master, Christ as my Lord. And I have rest. I have rest. The acknowledgement of the Redeemer. There is no rest for us outside of Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, the approach to the Redeemer. The approach to the Redeemer. Look closely at the language, verse 3 through to verse 7. Naomi is the speaker here. She's telling Ruth, "Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me I will do." And she went down onto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And in the end of verse 7, she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. I want you to see Ruth there. Picture that scene in your mind. Naomi has talked her through this process, what she needs to do. And Ruth listens to her. Ruth listens to her mother-in-law, and she's absolutely convinced that what Naomi is telling her is the right thing to do. The language of verse 5 is remarkable. "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Now, that's a sermon in itself. Because what it teaches me here is that Ruth shows herself to be a young woman who is open to instruction. She is teachable. She is teachable in this matter of knowing something more about Boaz. She's willing to listen. She's willing to take advice. I don't want to make a wide sweeping statement here, but this kind of attitude is not always found among the Lord's people. We're not always as teachable as we should be. We're not always as open to instruction as we ought to be as the Lord's children. We're living in an age where it seems many Christians don't like being given advice. Don't like being instructed. Sometimes young Christians just dismiss the counsel of older Christians. There's a growing mentality among all ages now, in this age in which we live, a growing mentality that says, "Don't tell me. Just let me do my own thing." Ruth was not like that with her mother-in-law. Here's a young woman listening to an older woman, telling her what she ought to do in order that she might learn more of the Redeemer. It's a very simple application. And let me say this to the young Christians here. Don't discard the counsel and the advice of older believers. They have experience with Christ. They know what it's like to walk with God. They know the dangers that are out there for young Christians. They know the temptations you're going to face. They understand that. They have faced them themselves. And it's highly unwise, young Christian, to discount the advice of older Christians. Ruth doesn't do that. She listens to her mother-in-law and she promises, verse 5, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. She promises to do all that Naomi said. And so she goes to the threshing floor and she lies down there. The fact that she lies down there shows to me there's nothing hurried about this. She's not looking to get away as soon as possible. She's not approaching this whole matter with a spirit of indifference. Ruth is very careful. She wants to be in the company of Boaz. And she wants to listen to his voice. And I know that from verse 4, because Naomi tells her, he will tell thee what thou shalt do. So Ruth goes here expecting to hear a word from Boaz. Ruth knows the place. She knows the place. She's been told, you'll find him there at the threshing floor. But her focus is not upon the place. Her focus is upon the person. She wants to approach Boaz. Is it not a picture? Is it not a picture, Christian, of the justified sinner approaching Christ and fellowshipping with Christ? Is that not what we see in these verses? You look at this and notice carefully. Notice that Ruth was cleansed. Verse 3, wash thyself therefore. She is washed. She's cleansed as she goes to the threshing floor. She is clothed. Put on thy raiment. Verse 3 also. The thought is put on thy best raiment. Remember, she's come from the field. She's been gleaning. She's been in the harvest. And now she's told, wash yourself and put on the best raiment that you have. No casual approach there. No attitude. Any old thing will do there. It's a growing tendency in this world as well. But she's cleansed. She's clothed. She's close. She comes right to where Boaz is. She doesn't stand afar off. She doesn't stand aloof. She notes the place where he lay. Look at verse 4. It shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Can't help but think of Mary and Martha at the empty grave, and they marked the place where Christ lay. He was a living Christ. And Ruth was careful, tells us in verse 7, that she came softly. It means she came silently. It comes from a verb that means to see. In this sense, it means hidden from sight. You see, Ruth doesn't come to draw attention to herself. She comes and her attention is on Boaz. That's why verse 3 is very important. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. The focus here, you see, is not upon Ruth. The focus is upon Boaz. And so she comes softly. She comes hidden. I used to hear, as I was a young Christian, used to hear ministers pray before they preached, hide the preacher behind the cross. I didn't understand that very much back then. I understand it now. What they were praying is, Lord, don't let the preacher be seen, but let Christ be seen. Don't let it be about the preacher's delivery or whatever. Let it be about Christ and his work. And here is Ruth, and she's approaching Boaz. It's a picture of fellowship. She's in the company of one who has the right to redeem her. And Ruth doesn't want to be anywhere else. She's just happy to be with him. She's happy to be there. And is there not a tremendous message in this Eastern scene that is before us? Ruth has to go away from all the other things that occupied her mind, away from her mother-in-law, away from the activities of the home, away from the busyness of Bethlehem. She has to forgo sleep. It's at midnight this all takes place. She has to forgo all of that and go to the threshing floor, down to the threshing floor. There's a great sense of humility and dependence in these verses. And believer, we need to show the very same carefulness as we come to abide in fellowship and commune with Christ. He alone can meet our need. Let us therefore go to Him. Let us approach Him. Doesn't that remind you of John Newton's hymn, "Approach My Soul, the Mercy Seat"? Where Jesus answers prayer, there humbly fall before His feet. For none can perish there. Thy promise is my only plea. With this I venture nigh. Thou callest burdened souls to Thee. And such, O Lord, am I, bowed down beneath a load of sin, by Satan sorely pressed, by war without and fears within, I come to Thee for rest. There she is at the feet of Boaz, the feet of her Redeemer, and she's finding rest. She's finding rest as she abides with Him. The acknowledgement of the Redeemer, the approach to the Redeemer. Look at the acceptance by the Redeemer. How did Boaz respond to this midnight visitor? Well, the answer to that question is very simple. He treated her with loving kindness and tender mercies. He treated her that night as he had treated her in the field. This was the man who had treated Ruth graciously before. And he does so here again. Verse 9, he covered her. Look at verse 9. "Who art thou?" he said. And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And the inference is from verse 14 that he actually did that. He covered her. He covered her until the morning time. Verse 14 tells us she lay at his feet until the morning, rose up from before one could know another. He covered her. There she is with the Redeemer, and she's covered. He comforted her as well. Look at verse 11. He says, "Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Fear not. Fear not. There must have been something about Ruth that indicated a fear. A fear, perhaps, of the future. A fear, perhaps, of what was going to happen next as she would meet with Boaz, a fear of what lay ahead of her. But Boaz has a word in season for her. He knows how to speak a word in season to a girl who's weary. And so he allays her fears. He covered her, he comforted her, he counseled her in verse 13, "Tarry this night," he says, "and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform," he's told her there's another kinsman, "but if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." He counsels her. He's essentially saying to Ruth, "Leave it with me. Leave it with me." I'll come back to this theme the next time we come back into Ruth chapter 3, but it's a very important theme to notice. "Tarry this night. Lie down until the morning." Verse 18, Naomi says to her, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall." He counsels her. He counsels her to trust him, to leave it with him, to depend upon him, to rely on him. And you look at this passage and you see the acceptance by the Redeemer of Ruth here, of Boaz treating her with kindness and graciousness and tender mercies. And you can't help but think of the sweetness of this fellowship. He didn't cast her away. And Christ never casts his people away. He loves us with an everlasting love. He cares for us and continues to care for us. We are covered. We're covered with his righteousness. We're covered with the shadow of his wings. We are comforted. Christ is interested in the comfort of his people. And he counsels us. He counsels us and gives us words in season when our hearts are weary. He has a word for us. He has a message for us. This is the language that resonates with a justified sinner. It's Christ. Christ never lets us down. Christ never lets us down. Boaz did not let Ruth down. She's going to find not just rest with him that night, but she's going to find rest with him for years to come. The acknowledgement of the Redeemer, the approach to the Redeemer, the acceptance by the Redeemer. Look at the assurance from the Redeemer. Look at verse 11. Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. I will do. I will do for thee. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And I read that kind of statement. I can't help but think that Boaz is promising here to take up her case. He's promising to take up her case. He's promising to be an advocate. He's promising to take care of her from this day forward and to do all that is required. Believer, isn't that just like the Lord? Isn't that exactly what the Lord does? He takes up our case. He is our advocate. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Not just a distant acquaintance, but he is our kinsman redeemer. He is the one who is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He takes care of his people and assures them he will do all that is required. He has done that in his life. He has done that in his death. He does it now at the Father's right hand. He is our advocate. He is our mediator. He is our redeemer. He is our friend. He is the one who loves us with an everlasting love. He is our comforter. He is our Savior. He is our heavenly Boaz. And that's where we find rest. All the more reason for us to draw near to him. It's good. It's good for us to draw near to the Lord. It's good for us to walk with him. Can you imagine what would have happened if Ruth had said to Naomi, I'm not going there? What if she had said, I have no interest in going there? She'd have lost out so much of the blessing that God had for her. Believer, sometimes we rob ourselves of blessing. Sometimes we rob ourselves of blessing by following afar off, not drawing nigh to our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us today to take up the hymn that we were singing earlier and the cry of that hymn, draw me nearer. Nearer, blessed Savior. May that be the prayer of our heart. And as we look at Ruth chapter 3, may the Lord write these thoughts upon our souls and make it a sweet time. May we not be casual or careless in our devotional time with the Lord, our worship of him, our fellowship with him. In our own homes, as we sit down to read the scriptures, may we not approach that in any kind of casual, careless way. May we come apart and fellowship with him for Jesus' sake. Let's bind a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us this morning. We do pray that thou will come and touch our hearts, Lord. We thank thee for Christ, our heavenly Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, a mighty man of wealth. In him there is strength. And Lord, oftentimes we follow afar off. So oftentimes we know where we can find him. We know where we can fellowship with him, and yet our hearts are slow to go there. Lord, we pray that we might come with confidence and gladness. And every day of our lives, enjoy sweet fellowship with Christ. Bless thy word. Bless thy word to all of our hearts today. And Lord, help us to live in the light of it and to enjoy Christ. We pray thy blessing to be upon us now. Bless tonight's service. We thank thee for the great truth of our justification and the great assurance that can be experienced and known by thy people because of Christ's work. Oh, Father, save us from taking our eyes off the Savior. May our eyes ever be fixed upon him who is altogether lovely. Bless thy word. Bless it tonight too. We pray these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.